I also remember that day as beautiful. And perhaps it was. Perhaps it rained, but I do not think so. The sun shone, the seas were low, the breakers gentle and the world happy. The hawk's claws gripped my wrist through the leather sleeve, her hooded head twitching because she could hear the cries of the white birds. We had left the fortress in the forenoon, riding north, and though we carried hawks, we did not ride to hunt, but rather so my father could make up his mind. We ruled this land. My father, Elderman Uhtred, was lord of everything south of the Tweed and north of the Tyne. But we did have a king in Northumbria, and his name, like mine, was Osbert. He lived to the south of us, rarely came north and did not bother us. But now a man called Aela wanted the throne, and Aela, who was an elderman from the hills west of Eofaric, had raised an army to challenge Osbert, and had sent gifts to my father to encourage his support. My father, I realize now, held the fate of the rebellion in his grip. I wanted him to support Osbert, for no other reason than the rightful king shared my name. And foolishly, at 10 years old, I believed any man called Osbert must be noble, good, and brave. In truth, Osbert was a dribbling fool. But he was the king, and my father was reluctant to abandon him. But Osbert had sent no gifts, and had shown no respect, while Aela had, and so my father worried. At a moment's notice, we could lead 150 men to war, all well armed, and given a month, we could swell that force to over 400 foemen. So whichever man we supported would be the king and grateful to us. Or so we thought. And then I saw them. 3 ships. In my memory, they slid from a bank of sea mist. And perhaps they did. But memory is a faulty thing. And my other images of that day are of a clear, cloudless sky. So perhaps there was no mist. But it seems to me that one moment the sea was empty, and the next there were 3 ships coming from the south. Beautiful things. They appeared to rest weightless on the ocean, and when their oars dug into the waves, they skimmed the water. Their prows and sterns curled high and were tipped with gilded beasts, serpents and dragons, and it seemed to me that on that far-off summer's day, the 3 boats danced on the water, propelled by the rise and fall of the silver wings of their oar banks. The sun flashed off the wet blades, splinters of light. Then the oars dipped and were tugged, and the beast-headed boats surged, and I stared entranced. "The devil's turds," my father growled. He was not a very good Christian, but he was frightened enough at that moment to make the sign of the cross. "And may the devil swallow them," my uncle said. His name was Eofric, and he was a slender man, sly, dark, and secretive. The 3 boats had been rowing northward, their square sails furled on their long yards. But when we turned back south to canter homeward on the sand, so that our horses' manes tossed like wind-blown spray and the hooded hawks mewed in alarm, the ships turned with us. Where the cliff had collapsed to leave a ramp of broken turf, we rode inland, the horses heaving up the slope, and from there we galloped along the coastal path to our fortress, to Bebbanburg. Bebba had been a queen in our land many years before, and she had given her name to my home, which is the dearest place in all the world. The fort stands on a high rock that curls out to sea. The waves beat on its eastern shore and break white on the rock's northern point, and a shallow sea lake ripples along the western side between the fortress and the land.